He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Thursday. It's the Thursday live edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson. Well, the PPI comes in a little bit hot here today. Annualized 7.8%. I think the market's worried a little bit more about inflation than the Fed is. We'll see who's right. But the market, after hitting a new all-time high yesterday, okay, let's put it in perspective, new all-time high yesterday. In fact, the Dow was up 220 yesterday. Today we're giving up 96 points of yesterday's gain, which puts the Dow at 35,388. Still quite a bit of air between the Dow, where it is now, and that 35,000 level that it fought with for so long, finally winning the battle. Now hoping that it can continue to keep its flag planted on that 35,000 mountain, the Dow. And we've got the NASDAQ, which has been very soft recently, is interest rate up to 1.37, I think. Let's see, 1.37%. And that's caused a little bit of a pause in the NASDAQ. I wouldn't be too worried, though, however. The NASDAQ's down 64 right now. The NASDAQ's at 14,700, just 300 points away from 15,000. Weakness in the chip stocks today, a downgrade of the memory stocks, and that's impacting Micron and others today. The S&P down 11 points after hitting a new high yesterday. The Russell 2000 down 8 points. Crude oil down 13 cents, gold down $5. The 10-year 1.37 today, and Bitcoin today is down 1,800, ouch, to 44,411. So welcome to the Thursday edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, portfolio manager with the Southport Capital. Well, we saw new highs yesterday, all right? The Dow broke out to a new time, new all-time high. And it's the reflation stocks that carried the day yesterday, especially the financials and the basic materials. Now, those two sectors are very sensitive to interest rates. That's why I've been saying in my tweets and my messages to my subscribers and to my clients that I think a balanced approach to the market is the right way to go right now. If you have 100% exposure to the tech sector, you've got risk there in rising interest rates, which is not good. They are not good for the tech sector. We saw that back in February and March. And, of course, the higher the P.E. ratio, the more vulnerable to rising rates, which contracts multiples, P.E. ratios. And the higher the multiple, the higher the P.E. ratio, the more vulnerable you are to rising rates. That's why Kathy Wood's ARK Fund makes me very, 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 very nervous right now, because she's in the extreme valuation range. She is very vulnerable to rising interest rates. Now, on the other side of that street, and I know a lot of people just don't want to go there. It's just too blah, you know, to own a bank stock like Goldman Sachs or a credit card stock like Capital One, or a basic material stock like fertilizer, like Nutrien. Well, you know what? I mean, it's part of portfolio construction. And it's part of having good days when the tech has bad days. And conversely, when the basic materials and financials have bad days, the tech has good days. And you might say, well, the overall balance would be you'd end up even then, wouldn't you? You would go nowhere. No, that's not exactly true. It depends on which stocks you're in and how you've got your portfolio weighted. And you're de-risking a lot of your portfolio of those rising interest rates by owning some financials, which do well in a rising interest rate environment. And, of course, the basic materials do pretty well in a rising interest rate and inflationary environment. So there's a way to de-risk your portfolio against inflation by buying some of the stocks and sectors that benefit and do well with inflation. In addition to that, you've had this big trillion-dollar infrastructure bill, which is also going to create tightness in supplies of cement and aggregates and pipes and steel and aluminum and copper and all of this kind of thing. So I think a balanced attack. Now, last year, that was not the way to go. Okay, every year is different in the market. That's why I'm not a big fan of all of these old farmer's almanac types of sayings, you know, go sell in May and go away. Every year is different in the market. And it depends on the environment and the economy. It depends upon the political climate. It depends upon the interest rate picture. And there's a lot of different factors that go into that, where we are in an expansion or a deceleration in the economy. That's all part of portfolio management and the decisions on what kind of team you want to construct in this unique environment that we're in right now. And I do say this is a unique environment. You have probably the most accommodative Fed, definitely, that I've seen since I've been in the business. I've never seen them be so accommodative for this long. But the other side of that is it creates an inflationary environment, and inflation could really take off if we're not careful here. And I think the market's a little bit more worried. That's showing up in the move of these financials and basic materials and insurance stocks, okay? Those are your three best barometers for the market's fear of rising interest rates, which could happen by themselves. It doesn't take a Fed rate hike to heat up rates. You know, you saw rates really get hot earlier this year, and that really sent the high-tech speculative stocks in a tumble. So we've got to really watch interest rates, inflation. You know, we're kind of walking a tightrope. The Fed is definitely walking a tightrope right now. They could create inflation and rising rates. That's the last thing they want to create, but you know what? They've been very accommodative for very, very long. And the other dynamic that we have going on that makes this a very unique environment is we've never seen government spending like we've seen over the last few years. I mean, taking our debt to, I would have to say it's an unmanageable, it's unsustainable. Something's got to give at some point down the road, but the spending is just unbelievable. And that's also creating a very unique environment. There's a lot of companies and stocks, obviously, that benefit from the spending because they're on the receiving end. But at the same time, you know, it also has the fear of creating an inflationary environment, which hurts the consumer. And we saw that in the PPI. And I'm hearing from a lot of people in various businesses, especially the restaurant business, about the increase in prices, food prices, recently. And it's getting more and more difficult to pass that on to the customer. It's squeezing margins. So this is a very unique environment. So portfolio construction this year, totally different from last year. Last year it was go, go, go as fast as you can with the new wave stocks, I would call them. And today, this year, the new wave stocks are the last place you want to be, and it's more of the big name, stodgy, you know, earnings growers, reliable earnings growth, And the market, most investors are holding their nose at these high PE speculative stocks that did so well last year. So anyways, that's my perspective as a guy who spends, 10 hours a day in the market up to my eyeballs. Those are my observations. The PPI came in at 7.8. Services were up 11.8, but you know what? That's kind of transitory. With all of the demand all of a sudden coming back. And we've got a very unique environment in the market to talk about. Well, you know what? The market changes. That's why I believe in active management versus passive management. This is Bill Gunderson. We'll be right back. Here to the second quarter of the Best Stocks Now show. Well, just looking at the PPI, Producer Price Index. Okay, this is the price of goods, all right? The CPI is passed on to the consumer, and the price that the consumer is paying. The Producer Price Index, the big spikes were in airline tickets, automobiles, automobile parts, hospital outpatient care, machinery and equipment, wholesaling, traveler accommodation services, in other words, hotels, and investment advice. Well, I didn't raise my prices. Don't blame me. Among prices for final demand goods, the index for tobacco products increased 2.7%. Prices for gasoline, diesel fuel, gas fuel, consumer, commercial plastic, and eggs for fresh use all went higher. Well, the jobless claims came in as expected at 375,000. That's a good, decent number, you know, better than where we were during COVID, right? I mean, we had a print of about 3 or 4 million in a week as those massive layoffs. Boy, rough to think back on those days, what, about 18 months ago or so. Now, the question is about this inflation. The Fed is saying it should recede over time. The market is saying, you know what, we're not so sure about that. And that's showing up in the bank stocks, the financials, the insurance stocks. They were on fire yesterday, absolutely on fire. Why? Because they are looking ahead and expecting higher interest rates, maybe some kind of a spike like we had earlier this year. Now, that's not happening. And I found that it's a very dangerous deal to try to predict and get in front of your predictions. You better be right. I wait for the actual data and the facts to start showing up before I make a move myself. I've been wrong so many times in predicting, the predicting game. And so I kind of wait, but I don't know. That inflation thing, I think it's a little more serious than the Fed is saying. Moderna, listen, more side effects possibly linked to the COVID-19 shot. I bring this up because Moderna stock got hammered yesterday. I was gloating about what a great stock it's been, and it has been. I've never seen a trip as quick as that to the S&P 500. I mean, that's like a baseball player playing a couple of years and being in the hall, inducted in the Hall of Fame all of a sudden, you know, when he retires. Moderna, bigger market cap than Merck. I mean, that's ridiculous. This thing went public in 2018, but it was down 18% yesterday. There's a few more side effects showing up. The European Medicines Agency has started an assessment of erythema multiforme, nephrotic syndrome, and glomerulonephritis experienced by some recipients of the vaccine. I don't know exactly what any of those are, but they don't sound like something you want to get, okay? Erythema multiforme is a form of allergic condition on the skin. All right. Nephrotic syndrome is a kidney disease. I don't think I want to get that. But anyways, that is one of the other side effects of adding more warnings to the vaccination. But as always, they say, obviously, that, you know, the risk of getting COVID are greater than some of these side effects that are happening in, you know, not a lot of cases. But there are three more conditions developed by a small number of people after receiving the company's COVID-19 shot. And it sounds like they're going to go really after the younger people now with the COVID vaccine. And it sounds like the boosters will be something that will be in the works, booster shots for the COVID-19. Blackstone, Carlyle Group, KKR upgraded to a buy at Deutsche Bank. Well, the reason I bring this up, these are all financials, okay? Blackstone is BX. We own that one. That's a great hedge against inflation, and it's doing pretty well, or actually against rising interest rates, and has been a killer for us. Carlyle Group is another one, CG and KKR. These are all dividend stocks, okay? So there's two lessons to be learned here. Number one, the financials are a good place to be. Last year, they were a terrible place to be. I didn't own any financials. This year, I have several, okay, because it's a different environment we're in this year. The second takeaway here is, I've said it many times, and I'll say it again, I would rather own dividend-paying stocks that are also growing their earnings. So let's just take Blackstone, for instance. Blackstone, over the last 5 years, has grown their earnings by 12% per year. Okay, that leads to capital appreciation. The dividend is just 1.6%, but when you add those two together, it equals total return. Okay, now let's take AT&T as the antithesis here. AT&T's earnings have been growing by 4% per year. BX has been growing by 12% per year. AT&T's got a dividend yield of 7.4%. You say, well, I could retire on that, 7.4% per year. But your principal is declining. AT&T was $34 per share back in May of this year, and now it's $28 a share. So you've lost about 15, 16% of your principal as sales and earnings just going nowhere at AT&T, and that 7.5% dividend yield has been wiped out by a drop in capital in your principal. So, you know, it doesn't always work out that way, but for the most part it does. Give me a smaller dividend payer that's growing their earnings at a superior rate, like some of these financials that I just mentioned, over a big stodgy stock like AT&T, who just continues to lose sales and revenues and business and earnings to competitors. The third takeaway is these companies, Blackstone, Carlyle Group, KKR, they cater to, they cater to high net worth individuals. And they're very profitable companies. That's my problem with the Robin Hoods, the Interactive Brokers of the world. And not so much Interactive Brokers, but Robin Hood for sure. In the hood, they cater to low net worth investors. Well, they're trying to become high net worth through buying Bitcoin and the meme stocks and things like this, but it's going to be very hard for Robinhood to ever become you know, profit earnings growth stocks like Blackstone and others have become. That's my third takeaway. All right, when we come back, we'll talk about Bitcoin and that Mustang Mach-E. Why is it being held up? We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second half of the Best Stocks Now show. Well, I can't say the market's gotten any better since we started the show. Down 98, down 100 right now. But it was up 220 yesterday. It hit a new all-time high yesterday. The Dow's at 35,381. The NASDAQ has pulled to even right now. So there, well, you know what? I just noticed that. That is a big improvement in the NASDAQ since we started the show. So I'm anxious to dig into the charts here as soon as we finish this show. Oh, boy, I've looked at probably, I don't know, 200 or 300 so far this morning, companies in the news. Didn't really see much that caught my eye yet, but there's always some interesting things. And if I find anything interesting, you can follow me on at Bill Gunderson. I'm on StockTwits with my army of 50,000 followers. I'm on Twitter. Those StockTwits, those tweets go out to Twitter too. And, of course, I have my live trading service that folks subscribe to, and I send out many messages to those folks, especially about what I'm buying or selling. And then, of course, I have my clients that many of them get those live messages. Well, Bitcoin. All right, let's check in on Bitcoin. Grinds higher, 46,400, nearing potential resistance at the 500 or 50,000 level. Several Bitcoin ETFs are ready. I mean, they're ready to be rolled out. Or not actually Bitcoin ETFs, but digital currency ETFs. It does seem like they're becoming a little bit more mainstream with all the ETFs, and you're starting to get a little bit of institutional backing in these. That's something they've been lacking, the institutions getting involved. I continue to watch Bitcoin. I think the biggest risk is government. Will government step in with their own cryptocurrency and crack down on the others like China did? Well, that's something you have to keep in the back of your mind. And the same, you know, at the same time, it's been a pretty good investment over the years. JP Morgan reveals plans to convert 4 active mutual funds to ETFs. Now, I grew up in a mutual fund world, you know, back 21 years ago when I got into the business. There were no such thing as ETFs. You had to wait till the end of the day to sell your mutual fund. You couldn't sell it midday. You had to wait till it priced at the end of the day. It didn't fluctuate during the day like ETFs do. And the mutual funds, yeah, I think they got away with some pretty high hidden fees in there. I remember something, there was one fee in there for, you know, all of their promoting of the fund and everything like that. The investors in the fund were paying that. The fund sponsors used to fly brokers, you know, around and, you know, basically trying to get them to buy into their funds. And probably a couple times a week, some mutual fund wholesaler would knock on the door and show up at the office, and you get a free pizza, you know, or whatever, to sit in and listen to him blab about why their mutual fund was better than the rest. Well, you know what? That's really, I'm sure, hurt Fidelity and maybe Vanguard. Fidelity hasn't really gone to the ETFs as rapidly as the others have. Vanguard went pretty rapidly to ETFs. JP Morgan's going to convert 4 big mutual funds into ETFs. ETFs, which are all the rage these days. There's almost as many ETFs as there are stocks. The semiconductor chip shortage, it's hurting Tesla. It's hurting Ford. You know that Mustang Mach-E that everybody is waiting for? Well, Ford delays it again. They've got all these orders for it. Ford Motor Company will delay the Mustang Mach-E vehicle orders a minimum of 6 weeks. 6 more weeks. I'm getting tired of walking while I'm waiting for my car, blaming the global semiconductor chip shortage. Once your vehicle receives the required chip, this chip must really be important. What's it? What does it drive? Your speaker system? I don't know. Your vehicle status will be updated, and you'll receive an email with an estimated week of delivery. Well, okay. We're still waiting on that Mach-E because of the chip shortage. Now, the state of the bond market. As you know, we do run a bond fund, and it's done well. I mean, I explored the universe for alternative investments that are not, linked to the stock market. And, you know, most of these alternative investments are commission products that garner pretty good size fees, the non-traded REITs, and I don't know, there's all kinds of them out there, mostly for the commission world, the brokerage world, which I'm not a part of. And I just came to the conclusion, what's wrong with buying bonds in best stocks now issue? And, you know, they're far and few between. A lot of these best stocks now don't need to issue bonds because their earnings are growing so rapidly. But we've caught several. We caught Broadcom, and we've caught Netflix, and got some pretty good yields on their bonds. And, of course, if you're going to hold them to maturity, as long as the company's still around, like Netflix, and doesn't go out of business, or Broadcom, you know, you're going to get your principal back. So I just decided, you know, that's the way I want to go with non-correlated. That's the word, the phrase I was looking for, non-correlated to the bond market. Well, it's obviously correlated to the economy and to inflation and interest rates. But once again, you know, we look for 7 to 8 year maturities, and the plan is to hold them to maturity. Now, along the way, we've had some that have gone way up. The principal has gone way up, either an upgrade or a move in interest rates or whatever, and we've actually cashed in several for some pretty good profits. But anyways, the state of the bond market right now is to get 4 to 5%, you got to go up the risk ladder pretty far. And it's been a while. Well, actually, it's only been several weeks since we bought our latest one. But the state of the bond market right now, okay, to get 5.5%, you want 5.5%? Well, here's where you got to go. How about for the next 5 years, you can get 5.5% with the Royal Caribbean senior note. Well, you know, Royal Caribbean's done a lot of borrowing to get through the pandemic. They've still got struggles. I mean, they're deep in a hole. Their ships still aren't sailing. They're getting ready to sail. They've issued a lot of stock to get through tough times. But, so, you know, Royal Caribbean is not a best stock now. I have no interest. I'm just using this as an example of the state of the bond market right now. To get 5.5%, you got to go a Royal Caribbean, RCL, and hope that they stay afloat. Pardon the pun. Blink charging misses by 16 cents. I bring that up because these were the kind of stocks that were working last year. Okay, if you went public with a SPAC that was going to do battery chargers, you know, there's not a lot of profit in battery charging. You know, there's the initial installation and whatnot. I would say Blink is one of the bigger ones. Blink has yet to make a profit. Blink got up to $56 per share last year. Now it's at $32 per share. That's quite a hit. Okay, that's almost a 45% hit from its high. I bring up Blink charging. Not that I'm against, building a huge network like we have gas stations. You know, you can't go very far without finding a gas station. But as far as these chargers, you know, they are a lot more hit or miss, and Blink is going to help solve this issue. I'm just looking at Blink from a investing point of view. Will it ever be a sustainable, profitable company with growing earnings? I have a big question mark there. But like I say, these are the kind of stocks that worked last year that aren't working this year. And here's my interesting story of the day. Okay, one of the great stocks of all time, really, in recent years was Lululemon with their yoga pant. Guess who's getting in the yoga pant business? I think I'll tell you when we come back. Could it be a big hit for this venerable old apparel maker? And then we'll come back with our featured stock of the day. This is Bill Gunderson. It's the Best Stocks Now show. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now. We have our featured stock of the day. I just want to say that, boy, the NASDAQ all of a sudden has really improved. It's up 8 right now. I'm seeing good action in the software stocks and online retailing and the cyber stocks really starting to perk up here. That's all happened since the show began. All these stocks open to the downside. We just surged, and we're positive now for the day. I like to see that. Let's see, the venerable old company that's getting in on the yoga pants craze. Okay. Well, in 1849, the gold miners, you know, they needed some tough pants to survive tough days mining gold, and Levi Strauss, obviously, in the Bay Area became quite a name. Still around today. They made an acquisition yesterday of Beyond Yoga. Okay, well, the miners, you know, and all this and that, it's times have changed, all right? We're not panning gold anymore. Some people still are, but yoga's a big deal. Lululemon is one of the biggest winners of all time. Levi Strauss is now a favorite at Morgan Stanley after a big yoga M&A move. So keep your eye on Levi, which just went public recently. L-E-V-I. Okay, now, as far as our featured stock of the day goes, we're going to go to Singapore. Didn't Bob Hope and Dean Martin, I want to say, The Road to Singapore? I think so. I'll look it up after the show. Oh, I like those old comedies like that. They were pretty funny. One of them had Peter Sellers in it. That's a funny bit. I can't remember which one it is, The Road to Kathmandu or something like that, with Peter Sellers great movies, the Pink Panther fame. Anyways, we're going to go to Singapore. How about a $154 billion company, the pride of Singapore, Sea Limited. S-E-A, just like the ocean, Sea Limited, symbol S-E. This thing went public in 2017 at $10 a share. It's now $305 a share. Okay. Sales growth over the last four quarters, 102%, 99%, 102%, 147%. Now, Blink Charging could only dream of sales growth like that. The company is not profitable yet. But this is a big deal in Singapore, It's an internet platform consisting of digital entertainment and e-commerce. Okay, a lot of people visit this thing. C Limited SE, it's a mega cap stock. That's another plus. Mega caps over small caps. Although small caps have improved quite a bit yesterday. This stock's up 147% over the last 12 months. The market is up 32%. It gets a momentum grade of A. We can't do a valuation on it because my valuations are based on earnings. Okay, so we got to go strictly here with the momentum of the stock. Over the last 3 years, this stock has delivered an annual return of 180% per year. I can't guarantee that'll keep up. In fact, that would be highly unlikely, but that's what it did. In 2019, the year of COVID, or 2020, the stock was up 395%. It's up 49% so far this year. It's a mega cap. And it's ranked number 175 out of 5,836. That's how I originally found it about 18 months ago. I've owned it in the past, and I own it now, because it rose through the ranks and all of a sudden was showing up as one of the top-ranked stocks in the entire market and one of the top momentum stocks in the entire market. That is the utility and beauty of the Best Stocks Now app. .com. It's a mouthful. BestStocksNowApp.com, but it will make your trading day and your stock research much more economical. I have to be very economical with my time. I have a lot of demands on my time throughout the day. My main demand is doing my best to provide returns and being in those best stocks now in each of the portfolios I manage, and in some cases, the best bonds now. Now, those are ones that meet my criteria. My criteria. No guarantees that they're going to perform like the best stocks now. But you know what? We try to put together criteria that I've seen work over my years in the business. No guarantees going forward, but the combination of valuation and performance. Now, in C Limited, you can't make a good valuation argument, but sales growth is astronomical, so hopefully that will lead to profitability soon. They're not losing that much money, and they're surging big time. So, we'll make C Limited SE from Singapore, $154 billion company now, mega cap, our featured stock of the day. Well, you can see on the one hand, we try to stay on the cutting edge out there of new companies coming along with new products, new services. But at the same time, there's a lot of venerable old companies that are doing very well in this very unique environment. You can't be out there on the frontier with all stocks like the one I just featured in this market right now. And the big factor there is interest rates. Interest rates could really start to rise here again, and that would not be good. You have to hedge against rising interest rates. That's just my little advice of the day. Now, you can learn and stay on top of all of this, of what's going on, from a guy who's in the market 10 hours a day. I'll be working on my newsletter a little bit today, all day tomorrow. We'll be sending it out Saturday morning. How do you stay on top of the market in a changing market environment week by week, month by month, year by year? You subscribe or you get on the mailing list for the Gunderson Best Stocks Now newsletter. It'll go out Saturday morning. Go to GundersonCapital.com to sign up for it, GundersonCapital.com. Or if you'd like to call us about a consultation and a review of your current situation, 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST, or GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.